just a word you sang creation's song. But when by sin humanity was marred, you took on flesh to save a world gone wrong. You bore the cross, Son of the living God. My rebel heart in mercy you pursued. No other name deserves my praise. You are my life, my all, and I belong to you. At Calvary, the soldiers chose the nails to fasten you upon the cruel tree. The hammer drove into your sinless hands the nails you chose to pay sin's penalty. Triumphantly prevailing over hell, you broke sin's curse by rising from the dead. My soul and crush the serpent's head. You are the Christ, Son of the living God. My rebel heart in mercy you pursued. No other name deserves my praise. You are my life, my all, and I belong to you. And when one day redemption is complete, I gaze at last upon your face unveiled, my voice shall echo through eternity. In spite of me, your saving grace prevailed. You bore the cross, Son of the living God. My rebel heart in mercy you pursued. No other name deserves my praise. You are my all, my love, and I be
Amen. I'm glad I belong to him. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm number 127. We're going to look at three fairly short psalms this evening as we look at blessing or vanity. Whenever our life is lived and our life is over, we look back on it, we say, was my life a blessing? Was my life all in vain? Did I live for nothing? There, and in these three psalms, we'll see a little bit of that. We'll see, first of all, the vanity scene, and then blessing scene, and then there's opposition, you know, because if we're going to be blessings or if we're going to be vanity, there are going to be some oppositions that come that we must overcome to have our life be a blessing to others as well as a blessing to the Lord. Let's look to him in prayer. Father, thank you once again for the opportunity to look into your word. We pray that you would open our eyes, our understanding to see what you have for us tonight. Father, we thank you once again that your word is alive, that it not only speaks to hearts, it changes lives as we incorporate your word. It has a transforming power. And Lord, we need to be transformed. We need to be changed so that we can be more like you. And we pray that you would use your word tonight to change our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. As we look at the vanity scene, first of all, we see in Psalm 127, there's vanity seen in building. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And so human labor, all the things that we do, it's all in vain if the Lord doesn't do something. Whether we are, we're going to look at several aspects of the house. The first one we want to see is our lives. The lives that we live is like a house. We're building a house, and as I serve the Lord, my body is a temple of the Lord, and all the efforts that we have without the Lord intervening, they're just like wood, hay, and stubble. They don't accomplish anything, and so it's so important that as we are building our lives for the Lord, allowing Him to build it, we obviously have some input into that, that we let the Lord build our lives. In the New Testament, Jesus compared the Holy Spirit to the wind. And if you think about a wind instrument, you know, the most skilled player on a wind instrument is not going to make any sound until the wind passes through. And so it is in our lives when we're trying to build something for the Lord. The Holy Spirit works in and through us, and He gives us the building. So as we strive to live for the Lord, except the Lord build the life, we're laboring in vain. All the things that we do without the Lord, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And everything that we try to do without the Lord amounts to nothing. And so in building our lives, but also in building a church, we can do all of the activities. We can have all of the programs. We can have people serving in all kinds of different areas. But unless the Lord does the work, it's all in vain. And I'm glad that the Lord wants to grow us individually. He wants us to grow in the Lord. He wants us to grow the church, the body of Christ, so that people get saved. And I'm glad that we can be involved in serving, whether it's in Sunday school or whether it's in nursery or in choir and many, many other ways that we can serve. But God is the one who builds the church, and He will bless our labors there. Maybe you have your own business, or maybe you work for someone else. And it would be a shame just to be on earth and work all our lives and then die and all there was work there. But God can bless our labor as well. And we can't take our business with us. We can't take our work with us. And some people say, well, I'm glad I don't want to take mine with me there. But unless the Lord does the work, everything is in vain. And later on, we're going to be talking more about family as well. Think about family. Unless the Lord builds our family, you know, we can keep house. We can stay awake all night, as it talks about in one of these verses here. It says in verse 2, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. And so, why worry whenever we're trying to raise a family, we're trying to build a family? Don't stay up all night. It's vain. It's vain to rise up early. Some people like to put the period right there, you know. I don't like to rise up early. And to stay up late and do all of that, why worry and stay up all night? Give it to God. He's up all night anyway. You know, He never sleeps. And so just give it to Him and go to sleep and trust Him there. Unless we're allowing the Lord to do the building, it's all in vain. Also, in maintaining a building, you know, you build a building and you can't just say, well, I'm glad I got that building built. It's done. No more problems. When we bought our first house, someone said, did you buy a hardware store too? You know, and didn't realize that's what we were going to need when you have that, because there's constant maintaining that. And so God is involved in our building of the building, our lives for Him. When the Lord saves us and He establishes us as a part of His church, the building, He doesn't just say, now He's saved and leaves us alone. I'm glad He doesn't, but He continues to maintain that relationship. He continues to change and mold us into his image there. And it's the Lord who saves. It's the Lord who maintains. It's the Lord who does it all. And unless the Lord is the one building the house, everything we do is vain. It's useless there. Also, we see there's vanity seen in investing time. As we invest our time, we can go to work and work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. But if we don't have God's blessing on our time invested, then it's all in vain. Just like when we give our money to the Lord and we say, God, take this money and bless it and multiply it, we do the same thing with our time. We put in the time, we put in the effort, and we say, God, will you bless this? You know, just because someone is constantly active doesn't mean he's actually accomplishing anything. You think about a merry-go-round, you know, it's just round and round and round and not accomplishing anything. You think about a hamster in a cage, you know, spinning on the wheel, you know, like that, and just going round and round and round. And sometimes you look at some people and you talk to them and you think that, don't you? There's a wheel turning, but the hamster's gone, you know, and what's going on there? And so just because people are active and they're doing something, it doesn't mean that they're accomplishing something or the Lord is working through them. Also, there's vanity and worrying. Notice that little phrase in verse 2. He eats the bread of sorrows. So it means he eats, he's full, but even though he eats there, he's not enjoying what he has because he's worrying about it. And God doesn't want us to worry. Isn't sleep a wonderful thing? He tells us here, and it's not wonderful while I'm preaching, but it's wonderful later on. And so it says the Lord there is the one who gives sleep. He giveth his beloved sleep. He restores us, doesn't he? He restores us mentally. He restores us physically, emotionally. God gives us this sleep to restore us and to refresh us. Someone has said, I didn't see who said this, but the springs of pure, refreshing, and lasting joy do not flow on the surface. The springs of pure, refreshing water, you know, the deep waters, and it's not on the surface. And so we come to God's Word and we realize that God has a plan for us. Now we're going to look at the rest of Psalm 127. I have here on my outline Psalm 128, but we haven't finished with Psalm 127 yet. And so now we're going to look at some blessings that are seen whenever we have a reverent walk with the Lord. Let's start with verse 1 of 128, and we're going to back up to 127 in just a little bit. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Whenever we walk in God's ways, whenever we are blessed, the word blessed in verse 1 and the word happy in verse 2 are the same word. And whenever we fear the Lord, as verse 1 talks about, we have this reverence for God. And we walk after God and we labor for the Lord, not eating the bread of sorrows, but realizing all that I do for the Lord, God, I want to ask you to bless it. Just like he blessed the loaves and the fish. God, take my labors, take all that I do and bless them. And whenever we do that, there is a rewarding work that goes along with that. He says in verse 2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Isn't that good? You eat the labor of your hands. Do you know whenever God planned for man to work by the sweat of his brow and earn a living, God intended for man to enjoy the benefits of those things he has worked to gain. God did not intend for the government to take it away from us and give it to someone else who wasn't working. Because the Bible says, if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. This verse says, thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Not all the lazy people who don't do the work. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't help those who are needy and are poor and need some help. We should. But God wants us to have the reward of our labor. It is His design. Well, we see the reverent walk and the rewarding work. And now we're going to tie in those last verses of Psalm 127 with, we'll call it, a respectable wife. The Bible says, whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Go back to Psalm 127, and it says, verse 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. And having children, God gives us a wife. God has a plan for a family and for children to come, and children are a heritage of the Lord. A heritage is a possession that someone has and they can make a legal claim to it. Children do not belong to the state. Children belong to parents. Do you know that in South Carolina there is now a bill being trying to be passed that will make K-4 mandatory for children? Years ago, it was first grade, and now it's kindergarten, and they're trying to make it where it's four-year-olds are required to be in school. And their goal is to bring it all the way down to one, because there are people that really believe, if you read some of the legislation, they really believe that children belong to the state. I don't know where they get those crazy ideas. They certainly don't get it from the Bible. Children are a heritage of the Lord. And I'm glad that we have, within our school association, the South Carolina Association of Christian Schools, we have people that have their radar out looking for those kinds of bills. And even what they would do is they would say, well, I'll just not send my child, you know. And of course, people, we have other options. We can homeschool. We can send them to Christian school. But the state is after our children. And so it's so important that we have families that are honoring to the Lord. It's so important that we as a church, that we have the wording in our constitution and in our school's policy manual, words that make it clear where we stand on the family there. Not only do we see children are a heritage of the Lord, but we also see that they are a reward of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward there. And so God gives to us children. And what a wonderful blessing it is to have these children. And we have what a great responsibility, don't we? Parenting is not an easy thing. But God helps us. Except the Lord build the family and train up the children. We labor in vain that build it there. And so the Lord gives a wife. If you look at Psalm 128, verse 3, we're kind of going back and forth to these two psalms because they're kind of tied together, at least in my mind they are. Verse 3 says, 128, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. And we'll look at that fruitful vine in just a little bit there. And so we see that the wife is there and having children. And God gives that, and that's His plan. That's the purpose of marriage, as we see from Genesis, to replenish the earth. And also in training children, verse 4 of 127, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth there. Arrows, and these days, as you well know, were not bought at Simpson's Hardware or Academy Sports. Whenever they wanted arrows, they had to go out and they had to cut the limbs. And they had to shape those limbs. They had to make sure that it was straight there. They had to shape them. They had to design them. And here it's comparing children as arrows. And as parents, our job is to take these children and to shape them, to design them, and put the feathers on the end, whatever. And then whenever you're ready to shoot them forth from your family, you've got to take aim at the target. And if you don't have a goal, if you don't have a target, you're sure to hit it every time, aren't you? And we have to have a goal. We have to have an aim. What are we going to do with our kids? And people ask after they're grown, how are your kids? And oftentimes people say, well, doing very well, has this job and that job, is doing all that. And that's good that they have good jobs and taking care of their family. But we want to train our children to serve the Lord, don't we? Whether it's making $100,000 a year or $20,000 a year, it doesn't matter if they're serving the Lord. And as arrows, arrows are also for protection, aren't they? As arrows in the hand of a mighty man. And so one of the things God expects of us as children being arrows is when our parents are older that we provide protection from them when they're old and not able to do that themselves. And so as we think about our children as arrows and we're taking aim, we want to have a high aim for our kids, don't we? We don't want to set low goals. We want to set high goals, and we want to get the best arrows we can and shape them and refine them and sand them and polish them and have them ready to be shot. And but you know, arrows, they can wound you sometimes, can't they? And sometimes children can do that as well. They can hurt our hearts, can't they? Those of you who have children, you know how sometimes they do that, but it doesn't mean that you're ready to get rid of them. It's just a part of the training, isn't it? That you want to help shape them and invest your lives in them. Look at verse 5. Happy, blessed is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And happiness in having children. What a blessing it is to have children here. A blessing to have children at the home. A blessing to have children in church. Brother Bill Hayes was sharing with me this morning after church how he enjoys seeing all the little children running around afterwards. And he said years ago they were at a church and there was some children in a balcony and they were making some noise and the pastor or whoever was preaching, evangelist or someone, not just corrected them but sent them out of there, you know, because they were disturbing the worship. And Brother Bill was saying that he didn't want to go back to that church because a church that sends away their children, he didn't know if he wanted to be there or not. And so isn't it a wonderful thing that we have opportunity to have children and train them up, investing in children. We have several ways we invest in children. We have Kids for Truth. We have the teen activities on Wednesday. We have Sumter Christian School. We have opportunities to invest in the lives of children. And here it says that happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. And for, even for our teachers, having children in the classroom, happy is the teacher that has a classroom full of them and has opportunity to shape them and design them and to shoot them forth out into a world to bring honor to God. What a high calling being a parent or being a teacher and being able to help these children there. Also in fearing the Lord, we need to fear the Lord. Verse 4 of 128, behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. And if we're going to train up children, if we're going to build our house, our family, our church, our building, whatever it is, we must have a fear of the Lord as well. This involves, in verse 1, walking in his ways. It says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. A holy life and fear of the Lord, they go together. Enjoying life, verse 2, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. And so it's a wonderful thing to have a wife who is involved in the family of nurturing and raising children there. It says, happy thou shalt be, and it shall be well with thee. Let's move on to number 4, and having a biblical family as well. Look at verse 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. That is, the wife is there. She is content to train her children. There's nothing wrong with a wife working outside the home, but there's no greater calling for a mother than to take the children that God has given to her and raise up those children to honor the Lord. And so the wife is a fruitful vine. You know, same-sex couples, they can't do this, can they? They can't have a fruitful vine. They can't do what God has commanded marriage to do, the family to do. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants. Olive plants were an emblem of luxury and fruitfulness. They're springing up. And as the parents get old and ready to pass, here they are, the olive shoots springing up, ready to take their place and train their children to do the same thing that they have been trained to do. And so this idea of living for the Lord, building a house, allowing the Lord to do it. We teach our children to do it, so they teach their children to do it. And the Christian heritage that our children have received, children are a heritage of the Lord, we want it to keep going, don't we? We don't want it to end with us or even with our children or our grandchildren. We want it to continue on there. And except the Lord do it, it will not be done. And so we see in having a biblical family and also in seeing grandchildren there in verse 6, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Proud grandparents. You ever come across any? Well, if you come across grandparents, you come across proud grandparents, haven't you, there? And so it's a wonderful thing to see our children have children there. We fear the Lord, verse 1. We walk in His ways. Verse 4, it says, behold, that thus shall the man be that blesseth, that fears the Lord. And the word blessed there, it's a different word than verse 1. Verse 1 has to do with having a state of bliss and happiness like we see in verse 2. But the word blessed in verse 4 is a word that means to bend the knee. It has to do with worship and praise. And so the man who walks before the Lord in His ways and has a wife that honors her husband, and together that they are bringing up children to love and honor the Lord, it says, he's going to be blessed. He's going to be commended. He's going to be not worshiped in the sense that we worship the Lord, but he's going to be praised. And it's because the wife that God has given to him is as a fruitful vine, and she is so involved in the bringing up of the children there. And we think of our wives, we think of our mothers, and we think how God has used them in the lives of children. Except the Lord build a house. They labor in vain that build it. But aren't you glad that the Lord, when He's building the house, He uses fathers, He uses mothers to accomplish that in the lives of children there. And even at church, we're all working together. We all have different duties, different responsibilities. But unless the Lord build the house, we labor in vain that build it. Verse 5 of 128. We skip that one. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. So blessings, vanity. Do we want our family to have the blessings of God or to live our lives all in vain when the end is over? So let's look now at the last psalm we'll see this evening, and we'll look at the opposition, the afflictions that come. Let me read the entire psalm before we look at it. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, may Israel now say. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turned back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth afore it groweth up. Wherefore the mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. And so we think about the afflictions that we have, and the afflictions will either keep us from being a blessing, or they will make us vain there. And so we don't have to let the afflictions keep us from enjoying the blessings of God. And neither do we have to let afflictions keep us from being a blessing for God. And they are countless, the afflictions that we have. And verse 1 and verse 2, it says, many a time have they afflicted me. Many a time. And so we know that the afflictions are going to come. And so this building of the house, except the Lord build the house, there are afflictions. If any of you have ever built a home, you know that there's a lot that goes into it. And there are problems that come, and you have to resolve all those things. And so it is in building our families and building our church. There are going to be many a time where we have to deal with problems there. And not only is it many times, but it's continuous as well. It says, from my youth. I've been dealing with this thing since I was young. Affliction after affliction. Twice in verse 1 and verse 2. From my youth. Afflictions are coming. Lord, how can I be a blessing? How can I have blessings when all of these afflictions are coming? And then we see that wonderful phrase at the end of verse 2. Yet they have not prevailed against me. The afflictions are conquered. We don't let the afflictions define who we are. We don't let the afflictions make our lives all in vain when it's over. Verse 4 says, the Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. And the reason that we have prevailed over the afflictions is because the Lord has done it. Except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. Except the Lord cut asunder the cords of the wicked, we labor in vain. And so we've seen the afflictions, and let's see something about the adversaries here. The adversaries that we have, whether it's the state who's trying to take our children from us or any others, he says in verse 5, let them be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. This word confounded has the idea of shame and disgrace. And the reason that they turn back is because they have been shamed. Then in verse 6, he says, let them be as the grass upon the housetops. Now, I'm trying to picture this in my mind, and in our settings, it's kind of hard because in verse 7, he talks about the mower. You know, when the mower is coming, you got this grass on the housetop. So can you picture in your mind somebody on this riding lawnmower on top of a house cutting the grass? Well, that's obviously not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the adversaries are not only confounded, but they cease. They wither. Grass is growing up on top of the house. It withers even before it begins to grow. And the mower, in verse 7, is the reaper, the harvester. It says he doesn't fill his hand because everything is withered. And he can't bind his sheaves because they withered there. And everything has been in vain. But whenever we let the Lord build the house, the church, the Lord build our family, there is a reward. There's a heritage, the reward that he gives, as we saw in verse 3 of 127. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Look again at verse 7. He that binds sheaves, there's none. He can't fill it. It was just last Sunday we were talking about sheaves as well. Look at 126, verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so there's one here that's coming with rejoicing. He's got all of his stocks of his grain, and he's rejoicing because the labor of his hand, God has built the house. And there's another one who's vain over here. Everything is just dried up and wasted even before he can even start to harvest anything. It's all gone. And then we see in closing, it's cursed. it's all in vain. It says, neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Remember the story of Ruth? And it tells us that Boaz was there. And Ruth chapter 2 verse 4, Boaz comes by the people in the field and Boaz says to his workers, the Lord be with you. And all the workers answered and said, the Lord bless thee. That doesn't happen in too many businesses today, does it? Unless it's a Christian ministry, hopefully it will there. But here, verse 8, it says, they're not coming by and saying, the Lord be with you, the Lord bless you there, because it's all been in vain. And so we come to the end of these three Psalms and we finish with where we started. Blessing or vanity, which will your life be? When you come to the end of your life and you look back, have you tried to do it and figure it all out and do it by the power of the flesh? If you do, it's all in vain. But if you let the Lord build the house, let the Holy Spirit who lives within do it. We do the work. We water, we plant, we water, but it's God who gives the increase. And when we get to the end of our lives, whether we have stored up a huge bank account or we die having nothing and owing everything, we don't take any of that with us, do we? But when we get to the end of our lives, we want to say, my life counted for the Lord because of the way I invested my life in the life of my family, the life of my children, and the life of other children within the ministry where God has placed us. And then we can get to the end and say, my life has been a blessing, I've been blessed, and the Lord has been blessed because God has done it through me. What a privilege. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you build the house, that you give the increase. Lord, help us in our families. Lord, we face afflictions. We face adversaries. And many times it's difficult. Sometimes we have financial difficulty. Sometimes parents have difficulty with children who are rebellious and wanting to do what's right. And Lord, it's not easy to shape these arrows, design these arrows, and point them in the right direction. And Lord, so we need your help. Except the Lord build the house, labor in vain that build it.